Morning.
Well, if that song doesn't prepare you for worship, I don't know what does. Praise Jesus. I want to talk about evangelism this morning. And before you cringe, we're going to go about it easy. And we're going to talk about witnessing. And if for most of us, probably the Christian's greatest fear is evangelism, basically sharing one's faith. And it shouldn't be. I believe witnessing is one of the most neglected commands in all the scriptures. We seem to get cold feet when we talk about going out and sharing our faith, to witnessing to others. And when you consider it's one of Jesus' final words to his church, it's something that we should be doing. The feelings of anxiety that we get, we need to learn to put them behind us. And I think all Christians have those feelings at one time or another. So fear is really no excuse not to share your faith. So this morning, what I want to share with you is a very basic way of evangelism. A lot of preachers have talked about it. There's a lot written about it. So this is nothing new. It's called come and see. It's a method of personal evangelism. We're going to be in the Gospel of John this morning. You see, John the Baptist displays the ultimate goal when he turns his followers to Jesus. And that's what we should be doing, taking our friends, taking their focus off of us, and putting that focus on Jesus Christ. We're going to start out with John chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 35. And follow along with me, either up here or in your Bibles. He says, again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. See, on the first day, back in verse 29, John identified Jesus amongst the crowd and pointed him out. And this time on the second day, he was with two of his disciples, his followers, and he pointed out Jesus. It's there. There goes the Lamb of God. Behold. So again, John took the focus from away from him and pointed it to where it should be, on Jesus Christ. And we need to live our lives in such a way that we're pointing others to Christ. And it seems so simple. When I stand up here and say it, that's what we should do. We all know that. We all know we're called to serve, but we're also called to make disciples, to share what Jesus Christ has given to us. And John, he knew what Christ had to offer. He knew what Jesus had for everyone. So he said, don't follow me. Behold, here is the Lamb of God. This is who you should be following. Verse 37, that transformation takes place. It says, and they followed Jesus. John pointed, and they followed. And the word follow in this sense, in this Gospel of John, is the word used for discipleship. It means a willingness to forsake what we have to follow Jesus Christ. It involves an idea of surrender, surrendering to Christ. So two of John's disciples, Andrew and John, followed Jesus. Picking back up in verse 38 and 39, says, then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. In verse 38, these two disciples approach Jesus and ask him a penetrating question. What do you seek? Or he asked them, what do you seek? You know, for thousands of years, the Jews sought after their Messiah. But they were seeking a political leader, someone powerful, someone to take away their worries, their woes, rise them back up to the glory they once had. But they were looking for the wrong thing. Jesus was asking them, what is your motivation? And you know, that's something we need to ask ourselves first. As Christians, what is our motivation for following Jesus? You know, I want to tell you, when I first became a Christian, and I got to talking to some of the guys at work, they asked me what church I went to, and I told them. You know, back then, Coshocton Baptist Church was that little half of the building over there. It was red brick. It didn't even have a steeple on it. The sign was turned, and you couldn't hardly see it from the street. You couldn't read it going by in a car. And they told me, they said, well, you know, you really ought to be going down to Grace Methodist Church. That's a bigger church, and that's where the affluent people go. And I thought about that. And it came back to me as I was studying for this message. What is the motivation for following Christ? It shouldn't have to do with anything like, where do the affluent people go? It has to do with who Jesus Christ is as a person, as our Savior, as the Son of God. Amen. Back then, I didn't exactly understand what they were saying. You know, and it didn't affect me like it did this week. But I got to thinking, man, their motivation is off. Do we follow after Jesus Christ because we want power? Now, that sounds funny to me. But to some, it doesn't. Have you ever heard of the term fire insurance? Some follow after Jesus Christ because they want fire insurance just in case there is a fiery hell that we have to go to. Their hearts aren't in following Jesus Christ. Their hearts are in what might happen. We have to make sure our motives in following Christ. Are we seeking fulfillment? And is that fulfillment in the right way? Is it in fellowship with Christians, with Jesus Christ Himself? Or do we want fulfillment because we just want to be happy? My motivation is I want to be happy, but I want to be happy in Christ. I want Him to lead me. I want Him to be my motivation, not what I might get from the outside world. And I know that seems so wrong to say, but you stop and think about it. I want you to mull it over today and you'll see what I'm saying. Some Christians don't have the right motive for following Christ. And I believe that interferes with our ability to share Christ with others because we don't have a pure heart knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. We rely on a head knowledge and that's not enough. Christ wants your heart. He doesn't want you just knowing who He is. He wants you feeling who He is. And when we feel who He is, that anxiety about sharing Him is going to drift away. It's going to dissolve. So we have to get from knowing Christ from here to knowing Christ to here. So, the two disciples answered Jesus with a question. They called Him Rabbi, which means learned scholar. And they said, where are you staying? And to me, this points out their true motivation, their true desire. They wanted to seek out Jesus. They wanted to go where He was and see what He was doing. Why else would you ask, where are you staying? Unless you wanted to see what they were doing. They were interested. Their motivation was to become better acquainted with Jesus Christ, with their Messiah. I see a heart response there, not just a head response. And Jesus has responded by saying, come and see. And that's what we're going to work on today, our come and see, and how we share. Jesus said, come and see what I'm doing. Come and see how I'm living. You come and see, you'll understand my love. You spend time with Jesus, and your life will never be the same again. John chapter 1, verse 40 says, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found a Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Immediately, he went to find his brother. Immediately, Andrew knew what he found, and he couldn't wait to share who Jesus Christ was with his brother Peter. You see, every time we see Andrew in the Bible, he's helping someone. In chapter 6, verse 8, he brings a young man to Jesus, a lad, I believe New King James says. In John 12, 22, he brings Greeks to Jesus. Andrew was an aide. He was a helper to the other disciples. He was an aide to Jesus Christ. But you know, we don't hear as much about Andrew as we do Cephas, Peter the rock. But Andrew was busy doing the Lord's work. He had to go tell his brother about Jesus. And shouldn't we feel that when we discover who Jesus is? Shouldn't we have that burning desire to go tell our brothers, our sisters, who Jesus Christ is? Andrew brought others to Jesus. We all need Andrews. This church needs Andrews. We need old Andrews, young Andrews, husband Andrews, wives Andrews, deacon Andrews. We need Andrews in this church that our hearts are so filled up with Jesus Christ, they cannot wait to go and tell others. We don't need fame. We just need that desire, that heartfelt need. And can you imagine Andrew? I like to think about him when he discovered who Jesus Christ was. He said, "I can't wait to go tell my brother. I have to tell him my news right away." We have found a Messiah. I was trying to think of news that would be that exciting in this day and age, and I can't think of any news that's as big, as powerful as finding Jesus Christ. Even when you're expecting a child, to announce the news to your family is a great thing. And you see now today they have all these different ways to reveal it with balloons and all the stuff they do. But wouldn't it be great to announce, "Jesus came into my life"? That's bigger than any birth. That's the ultimate birth, the spiritual birth. He says, "Come and see. Cephas, come and see what I found. Come and look." You see, being Andrew doesn't involve any fancy evangelism. We don't have to memorize the whole Bible to tell people about Jesus Christ. All being an Andrew means is saying, "Come and see." I want to share some information with you today. It may shock you. None of you out here can change anyone. None of us. All we can do is share Jesus Christ with them. Say, "Come and see," and let Jesus Christ do the changing. Andrew brought Cephas, Peter the rock, to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ saw in him not that strong-headed fisherman, that rough worker, but he saw what he could be. Isn't that true for each one of us? Did you go to Jesus perfect and ready to be used? I doubt that very much. Because you see, we all have rough edges that Jesus has to sand away. He has to make us fit into his plans. And that's the idea of come and see evangelism. We're going to reach out to the people, to our families. John chapter 1, verse 43 through 46 says, "The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." On the third day, Jesus sought out Philip. He was evidently a friend or an acquaintance of Peter and Andrew. And Jesus tells him, "Follow me." Jesus came to seek out the lost. He said to Philip, "Follow me," and Philip followed. Once again, notice Philip's reaction. Philip discovered Jesus Christ. He followed him. It says that right here in the scriptures. And his immediate response was, "I have to go tell my friend." It says he found Nathanael and shared the good news with Nathanael. Now, I don't think Nathanael was quite sold right off the bat, because he said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" So there was a little prejudice there, I think. He was probably looking for someone out of Bethlehem to be their savior. But still, Philip had to share the good news. He had to say, "Come and see what I found." You will see here in the scripture where Philip tried to convince Nathanael of anything. He just said, "Come and see." That's our example. We don't battle anybody over who Jesus Christ is. We just say, "Come and see." So was, I got another scripture here to read, and I'll go on, excuse me. John chapter 1, verse 47, 51. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under a fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under a fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." He said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you will see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You know, I noticed when I was reading this week and studying this, it became clear to me when we use just "come and see," we don't have to convince. Jesus does the convincing. Jesus convinced Nathanael just by his words. I serve a God that I don't have to defend. I serve a God that all I have to do is reveal him through my life, through my words. Jesus Christ will do the talking. He'll do the convincing. He'll do the drawing in. It's up to him to open the hearts. It's not my battle to fight. My position is to serve God and allow them to see Jesus at work. We're all given the opportunity to witness through our actions. Come and see is personal evangelism. We see the trickle-down effect when one discovers Jesus Christ, or two. Their hearts become filled. They can't wait to tell their brother, their friends. You see, there's a difference between just telling someone about Jesus Christ and inviting them in. You know, someone asks me where I live, I can give them the address. I can say, 1631 Denman Avenue. But that's really not doing anything. But when I invite them in, I said, "Come on inside. Have a cup of coffee. Let's talk. Let's chat." Then you're inviting them into your heart. You're inviting them into your home, to your spiritual home. You're making room for them. You see, Jesus didn't just give his address. He invited two disciples to come in and see for themselves. See what I have to offer. Enjoy the comfort that I can give. Philip didn't argue with Nathanael. We don't need to argue with anyone. I think the greatest fear we have in sharing Christ is we're afraid we won't have the right answers. We can't quote the right Bible scriptures. But I want to tell you today, don't worry about it. You don't have to. God will give you the words to say, but you have to be open and invite them in. Say, come and see. Come and see how I live my life, and you'll see Jesus Christ at work. If you can't answer a question, that's okay. Say, come and see. I'll show you people that can answer your question. Invite them into the fellowship of God and let them come to that understanding as Jesus works on their hearts. You know, we're so scared because we're afraid to fail. You're not going to fail when you share what God has done in your life. You will be successful because God will be at work. Evangelism isn't about your words. It's about your life and the difference that Christ has made in your life. People really don't want to hear about God's love. They want to see it. And that is a body of believers of what we have to begin to do. We have to show God's love outside of these walls. You see, we're all called to evangelize. We all have people that we need to be talking to. I want you to think this morning, what can we do? St. Francis, it's been attributed to him, said one day, preach the gospel at all times. When absolutely necessary, use words. I want to ask you today to lead your daily life as a reflection of who Jesus Christ is. Push the world aside. This is the first step. You have to have something to show them. You have to show a difference that's been made in your life. People have to see something in you to believe Jesus Christ has something to offer. And that's the first thing I'd like you to do. Think about it. And every morning when you get out of bed, before your feet even hit the floor, pray and ask Jesus to make you an example of light for that day. And I believe everyone here today that's a believer, there's someone in your life that you know right now that needs a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to think about it. For John the Baptist, it was his disciples. For Andrew, it was his brother Peter. For Philip, it was Nathanael. So who is it for you? Right now, I know someone, a name came to your mind right now. You can't stop it. There has to be someone that you know that needs Jesus Christ in their life. And now that we've established that, what are you going to do about it? The answer is simple. We're going to evangelize. We're going to say, come and see. We're going to live our life in a way that they see that I am not the same Mike Walters that they knew back in high school, or they knew back when I worked at Clow's, or they knew back at the power plant before I became a Christian. There's something different about that Mike Walters. He's changed. And I want to know what's changed in his life, because all of a sudden, he's more at peace. There's more love in him. The anger's gone. So you see, we live our life and we point them to Jesus Christ. When they say, what happened to you? You say, come and see. Come and see this Savior that I serve. If John the Baptist can do it, if Andrew could do it, if Philip could do it, you can do it. Don't get hung up on knowing Scripture. Knowing Scripture is great, and I think we all should learn it. And we should learn the Roman road or whatever way you want to do it. But don't let that give you cold feet. It's our actions. And why is this so important? You know, I'm afraid sometimes that Christian life in this country now, people want to pick out the good part and throw away the bad part. Not that there's a bad part of being a Christian, but we don't want to think about what's going to happen to our friends and family if they don't accept Christ. You know, we kind of gray that area out in our minds and we go through our time here on earth. But we need to remember that the lost are lost. We're going to be separated from them. And there's no easy way to put it. If you have a family member, if you have a friend, if you love that family member, you love that friend, you need to present Jesus Christ to them. Because if you don't, the only thing they're facing is death. Christians don't talk about that anymore. We don't feel a sense of urgency to reach out. You know, we're called to love each other. Everyone's my neighbor. So how could I not want to share Jesus Christ with them? I've got friends. I know people. Their lives are just like a big game of pinball. They're just bouncing off of one life event to the other, to the other, until finally they're going to be out of play. And if they don't accept Christ into their life, that's exactly what it's going to be. It'll be the end for them. I don't want to end this message on a down note. I want to end it on an up note. And that up note is our life with Jesus Christ and how easy it is to share that. How easy it is to say to our brothers, our sisters, our family, co-workers, come and see. I don't want to argue about Jesus, just come and see. Come and see what Jesus has to offer you and let Jesus do the talking for you. There's a bunch of loving people in this family of God. I want my family to know. I want my friends to know who Jesus Christ is. You know, I've been into these conversations where they want to start an argument per se. They want to debate on who Jesus Christ is. But I don't debate. I've learned that a long time ago. And I don't need to debate who Jesus Christ is. I just need to say, come and see. If you want to know what I have, come and see. Let's all stand together. Today is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Today is a great day to worship and to praise Him. That last song just lifted me up to praise Jesus, to think about who He is. But I want to leave you this morning with the thought that evangelism, we're called to tell. Just disregard that scary word and just think about Christ's love. And whatever name come to your mind today, I don't want you to forget it. I want you to start praying for that person and for that opportunity. I want you to seek them out. Don't just say, well, I'm waiting. Don't wait. Go to them. Say, come and see. Come and see who Jesus Christ is and see if your life isn't better. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank You so much for the examples You give us in the Bible. Father, You lay out step by step what You expect of us. And Father, I just pray. I pray for everyone here today that our hearts would be open. open to evangelism, to sharing Jesus Christ. Father, I just pray that that name is a burning ember in our hearts, that we can't ignore it, Father. Father, I ask you to prepare the hearts of those we're going to talk to. Go ahead of us, Father, and draw them in. Father, I pray for each of us the boldness to speak your name, to show that you are alive in our hearts, to show the difference that you have made. It's just my desire for this church, Father, this body of believers, that we go outside of the walls and we get back to what you've called us to do. And that's to share the name of Jesus, to gather in the lost, Father. Father, we have no power on our own. It has to all come from you. Father, I just pray that you will pour your blessings down on this church and on these people. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.